Folio, Contemporary Thalen Female Fashion. This folio page targets the Thalen merchant class with styles heavily influenced by the fashion worn by the nobles of Queen Fenranandi's court.
Part 3. Defying Truth, Love Truth. Dalinar, Shallan, Kaladin, Adolin. 58. Burdens. As a stone ward, I spent my entire life looking to sacrifice myself. I secretly worry that is the cowardly way, the easy way out. From Drawer 29-5, Topaz. The clouds that usually congregated about the base of the Uathiru Plateau were absent today, allowing Dalinar to see down along the endless cliffs below the tower's perch. He couldn't see the ground. Those cliffs seemed to extend into eternity. Even with that, he had trouble visualizing how high in the mountains they were. Navani's scribes could measure height using the air somehow, but their numbers didn't satisfy him. He wanted to see. Were they really higher than the clouds were over the shattered plains? Or did the clouds here in the mountains fly lower?
How contemplative you've grown in your old age, he thought to himself, stepping onto one of the Oathgate platforms.
Navani held his arm, though Terebangian and Adratagia had trailed behind on the ramp up. Navani looked into his eyes as they waited.
Still bothered by the latest vision?
That wasn't what was distracting him at the moment, but he nodded anyway. Indeed, he was worried. Odium. Though the Stormfather had returned to his previous self-confident ways, Dalinar could not shake the memory of the mighty Spren whimpering in fright. Navani and Yasna had eagerly feasted on his account of meeting the Dark God, though they'd chosen not to publish this one for wide dissemination.
Maybe, Navani said, this was somehow another pre-planned event, placed by honor for you to encounter.
Dalinar shook his head.
Odium felt real. I truly interacted with him. You can interact with the people in the visions, just not the Almighty himself.
Because you theorize the Almighty couldn't create a full simulacrum of a god.
No.
I saw eternity, Navani. A divine vastness.
He shivered. For now, they had decided to suspend use of the visions. Who knew what risk they'd run by bringing people's minds in and potentially exposing them to odium?
Of course, who's to say what he can and cannot touch in the real world? Dalinar thought.
He looked up again, the sun burning white, the sky a faded blue. He would have thought that being above the clouds would give him more perspective. Terebangian and Adratagia finally arrived, followed by Terebangian's strange surge binder, the short-haired woman Malata. Dalinar's guards brought up the rear. Ryal saluted him. Again.
You don't need to salute me each time I look at you, Sergeant, Dalinar said dryly.
Just trying to be extra careful, sir.
The leathery, dark-skinned man saluted one more time.
Wouldn't want to be reported for being disrespectful.
I didn't mention you by name, Ryal. Everyone knew anyway, Bright Lord.
Imagine that.
Ryal grinned, and Dalinar waved for the man to open his canteen, then sniffed for alcohol.
It's clean this time?
Absolutely. You chastised me last time. Water only.
And so you keep the alcohol
in my flask, sir,
Ryal said.
Right leg pocket of my uniform. Don't worry, though. It's buttoned up tight. And I've completely forgotten it's there. I'll discover it when duty is done.
I'm sure.
Dalinar took Navani by the arm and followed Adratagia and Terebangian.
You could have someone else assigned to guard you, Navani whispered to him. That greasy man is unfitting.
I actually like him, Dalinar admitted.
Reminds me of some of my friends from the old days.
The control building at the center of this platform was shaped like the others. Mosaics on the floor, keyhole mechanism in the curved wall. The patterns on the floor, however, were glyphs in the Dawn Chant. This building would be identical to one in Thalen City, and when engaged, it would swap places with that one. 10 platforms here, 10 across the world. The glyphs on the floors indicated that it might somehow be possible to transport directly from one city to another without coming to Uathiru first. They hadn't discovered how that might work, and for now, each gate could swap only with its twin, and they had to first be unlocked from both sides. Navani went straight for the control mechanism. Malata joined her, watching over Navani's shoulder as she fiddled with the keyhole, which was in the center of a 10-pointed star on a metal plate.
"Yes," Navani said, consulting some notes. "The mechanism is the same as the one to the shattered planes. You need to twist this here."
She wrote something via span read to Thalen City, then ushered them back outside. A moment later, the building itself flashed, a ring of stormlight running around it, like the afterimage of a firebrand being waved in the dark. Then Kaladin and Shallan emerged from the doorway.
"It worked,"
Shallan said as she bounced out, bubbling over with eagerness. In contrast, Kaladin stepped out with a firm gait.
"Transferring only the control buildings instead of the entire platform should save a stormlight."
"Up until now," Navani said, "we've been working the oath gates at full power for every transfer. I suspect that's not the only mistake we've made in regard to this place and its devices. Anyway, now that you two have unlocked the Thalen gate on their end, we should be able to use it at will, with the help of a radiant, of course."
"Sir," Kaladin said to Dalinar, "the Queen is prepared to meet with you." Taravangian, Navani, Adratagia, and Malata entered the building, though Shallan started down the ramp back toward Urethiru. Dalinar took Kaladin by the arm as he moved to follow.
"The flight in front of the Highstorm went well?" Dalinar asked.
"No problem, sir. I'm confident it will work."
"Next storm then, soldier. Make for Kolinar. I'm counting on you and Adolin to keep Elokar from doing anything too foolhardy. Be careful. Something strange is going on inside the city, and I can't afford to lose you."
"Yes, sir."
"As you fly, wave to the lands along the South Fork of the Deathbend River. The Parshmen may have conquered them by now, but they actually belong to you."
"Sir?"
"You're a Shardbearer, Kaladin. That makes you at least Fourth Dawn, which should be a landed title. Elokar found you a nice portion along the river that reverted to the Crown last year at the death of its Bright Lord, who had no heir. It's not as large as some, but it's yours now."
Kaladin looked stunned.
"Are there villages on this land, sir?"
6 or 7. One town of note. The river is one of the most consistent in Alethkar. It doesn't even dry up in the midpiece. That's on a good caravan route. Your people will do well."
"Sir, you know I don't want this burden."
"If you'd wanted a life without burdens, you shouldn't have said the oaths," Dalinar said. "We don't get to choose things like this, son. Just make sure you have a good steward, wise scribes, and some solid men of the 5th and 6th Dawns to lead the towns. Personally, I'll count us lucky, you included, if at the end of all this we still have a kingdom to burden us."
Kaladin nodded slowly.
"My family is in northern Alethkar. Now that I've practiced flying with the storms, I'll want to go and fetch them, once I get back from the Kolinar mission."
"Get that oath gate open and you can have as much time as you want. I guarantee the best thing you can do for your family right now is keep Alethkar from falling."
By span read reports, the Voidbringers were slowly moving northward and had captured much of Alethkar. Relis Ruthar had tried to gather the remaining Alethi forces in the country but had been pushed back toward Herdaz, suffering at the hands of the Fused. However, the Voidbringers weren't killing non-combatants. Kaladin's family should be safe enough. The captain jogged off down the ramp, and Dalinar watched, thinking about his own burdens.
Once Elokar and Adolin returned from the mission to rescue Kolinar, they'd need to get on with Elokar's High King arrangement. He still hadn't announced that, not even to the High Princes. A part of Dalinar knew he should simply go forward with it now, naming Adolin High Prince and stepping down. But he delayed. This would make a final separation between himself and his homeland. He'd at least like to help recover the capital first. Dalinar joined the others in the control building, then nodded toward Malata. She summoned her shard blade and inserted it into the slot. The metal of the plate shifted and flowed, matching the shape of the blade. They'd run tests, and though the walls of the buildings were thin, you couldn't see the other end of the shard blade jutting through. The blade was melding into the mechanism. Malata pushed against the side of the blade's hilt. The inner wall of the control building rotated. The floor underneath the mosaics began glowing, illuminating them like stained glass. She stopped her blade at the proper position, and a flash of light later, they had arrived. Dalinar stepped out of the small building onto a platform in distant Thalen City, a port on the western coast of a large southern island near the Frostlands. Here, the platform that surrounded the Oath Gate had been turned into a sculpture garden, but most of the sculptures lay toppled and broken. Queen Fen waited on the ramp up with her attendants. Shallan had probably told her to wait there in case the room-only transfer didn't work. The platform was high up in the city, and as Dalinar neared the edge, he saw that it gave an excellent view. The sight of it made Dalinar's breath catch. Thalen City was a mountainside metropolis like Carbranth, placed with its back to a mountain to provide shelter from the high storms. Though Dalinar had never been to the city before, he'd studied maps and knew Thalen City had once included only a section near the center they called the Ancient Ward. This raised portion had a distinctive shape formed by the way the rocks had been carved millennia ago. The city had long since been built beyond that. A lower section called the Low Ward cluttered the stones around the base of the wall, a wide, squat fortification to the west that ran from the cliffs on one side of the city to the mountain foothills on the other. Above and behind the ancient ward, the city had expanded up a series of step-like tiers. These loft wards ended at a majestic royal ward at the top of the city, holding palaces, mansions, and temples. The Oathgate platform was on this level, at the northern edge of the city, close to the cliffs down to the ocean. Once, this place would have been stunning because of its magnificent architecture. Today, Dalinar paused for a different reason. Dozens, hundreds of buildings had fallen in. Entire sections had become rubble when higher structures, smashed by the Everstorm, had slid down on top of them. What had once been one of the finest cities of all Roshar, known for its art, trade, and fine marble, was cracked and broken like a dinner plate dropped by a careless maid. Ironically, many more modest buildings at the base of the city, in the wall's shadow, had weathered the storm. But the famous Thalen docks were out beyond this fortification on the small western peninsula fronting the city. This area had once been densely developed, likely with warehouses, taverns, and shops, all wood. They'd been swept away completely. Only smashed ruins remained. Stormfather. No wonder Fen had resisted his distracting demands. Most of this destruction had been caused by that first full Everstorm. Thalen City was particularly exposed, with no land to break the storm as it surged across the Western Ocean. Beyond that, many more of these structures had been of wood, particularly in the loft wards. A luxury available to a place like Thalen City, which up until now had been subject only to the most mild of storm winds. The Everstorm had come 5 times now, though subsequent passings had, blessedly, been tamer than the first. Dalinar lingered, taking it in, before leading his group to where Queen Fen stood on the ramp with a collection of scribes, light eyes, and guards. This included her prince consort, Kamakal, an aging Thalen man with matching mustaches and eyebrows, both drooping down to frame his face. He wore a vest and cap and was attended by 2 Ardents as scribes.
Ben, Dalinar said softly. I'm sorry.
We lived too long in luxury, it seems, Ben said, and he was momentarily surprised by her accent. It hadn't been present in the visions.
I remember as a child worrying that everyone in other countries would discover how nice things were here, with the mild Straits weather and the broken storms. I assumed we'd be swarmed with immigrants someday.
She turned toward her city and sighed softly. How would it have been to live here? He tried to imagine living in homes that didn't feel like fortresses. Buildings of wood with broad windows, roofs needed only for keeping the rain off. He'd heard people joke that in Carbranth you had to hang a bell outside to know when the high storm had arrived, for otherwise you'd miss it. Fortunately for Taravangian, that city's slightly southern orientation had prevented devastation on this scale.
Well, Ben said, let's do a tour. I think there are a few places worth seeing that are still standing.